Good morning, 6:27 a.m. on August 23rd, 2013. Oh, terribly humid, but otherwise gorgeous morning here on the Front Range, on the high plains, east of the Front Range, I suppose, would be more accurate, because technically I'm not. Technically, I'm not on the Front Range. Anyway. .15:48 on the first mile. Not bad. Under 16. I knew I was walking along pretty quick, but whoa. Nice. Sub 16 minute first mile. Keep walking, keep walking. So yesterday's... Oh, shoot. Mike, sorry. So yesterday's move-in day turned out to be less traumatic than I was anticipating. I remember dormitories with 3 and 4 stores. 3 and 4. Three and four stories. 4 floors up to get to undergraduate housing. And while there are some of those on campus, my daughter is not in one. She's actually on the second floor. And to say that they had help would be something of an understatement. We got there relatively early, and we did not get there as early as I had hoped, which caused some amount of friction around the household. It's like, come on, people, you said you wanted to be there early. 8:30 is not early if the doors opened at 8 o'clock. But they were thinking anything before 9, and I'm thinking anything after 10 is going to be way too hot to be doing this. It worked out. The one group went in to get the keys and set the cards and deal with key locks and find the room. And I stayed with the vehicle, and after about 10 minutes, moved it over to the front of the building where they had 20-minute loading zones marked out. And I started unpacking onto the sidewalk, figuring, well, if we have to move the vehicle, at least we won't have to drag goods very far. And a group of about, I don't know, 5 or 6 guys came up and said, can we help? And I said, well, just staging here waiting to find out where the room is. So they helped me unload the van, which took like 3 whole minutes. And then by then, one of the people who knew where the room was showed up. And so they picked everything up and walked away and left me standing there with an empty van, which I proceeded to move back to the parking lot across the street. So it was like, bang, gone, done. And all I had to do was carry stuff out to the car from house. We had to do a bit of finagling after that. We did not bring tools with us. We didn't take them when we went, which was a mistake, but everything, no, you don't need tools, just go. And of course, we did need tools because the bookshelf that everyone expected would have its own little built-in Allen wrench to tighten down screws didn't. So we need a Phillips head screwdriver and a hammer. So I wound up going home, picking up hammer, extra pillow. There's only one pillow on her bed, and she really needs 2 pillows after all. Goodness. But I had a bit of fun. I dug out one of her Barbie pillowcases. And to be fair, Barbie was never her pillowcase. It was the other one. But they've both long since outgrown the Power Girl and Barbie sheet sets. But realizing that she probably, if she didn't take an extra pillow, she probably didn't take an extra pillowcase. So I tossed the pillow in her Barbie pillowcase. And then I threw another blank one in on top of it. So the tools and the extra pillowcase and trash bag and 12-pack of soda. Headed back. So she had something to put in her fridge. And then I walked across campus with a Barbie pillowcase sling over my shoulder and a 12-pack of lemonade under my arm. As I was crossing the street, a herd of sorority types were chanting. They were obviously out for their morning constitutional. And a couple of them gave me the, "What the hell is that?" look, to which I merely smiled. There are some things that being 60 years old and a PhD will do for a man. That's one of them. It was great. It was fun. And of course, I got the appropriate shocked and horror reaction when I handed her the pillow with Barbie on it. Pink was never her color. I have to give her credit for that. I was being particularly stinky. But pink was never her color. She was always the blue-green one. Now, the other daughter, the younger daughter, she's purple, pink. Those are her colors. She's good with those. Although she's leaning more towards more subdued colors these days. Forest greens are not uncommon. And she has a lime green or almost neon green blazer that she wears, kind of a military styled waistcoat. Tunic coat, I guess. It's not a waistcoat. Waistcoat's actually a vest, but... And she wears that periodically, along with a bright orange hoodie that she will occasionally dig out. It's a little warm to be wearing extra clothing around, particularly in school. Still, it will be too hot for several months yet. Well, a couple of months yet. So another thing that passed over my desk yesterday was Kevin Spacey was invited to give a keynote address to a convention of TV broadcasters in England, Edinburgh. And it was astonishing how he really did nail down a couple of really important ideas that had to do with the packaging and marketing of television programs. And he held up House of Cards, which he was, I think he was one of the producers actually, as well as the main character, the actor. And he won an Emmy for that, or was nominated. I don't know that he won it, but he was nominated for an Emmy for it. As well, he should have been. It's a Netflix original. It was a remake of Monk Pole, a remake of the British B BBC series House of Cards, which I started to watch and then rapidly lost a beam. It wasn't as engaging. It wasn't as, I don't know. It wasn't as immediate. In a lot of ways, I think it didn't age well. I suspect it might have been superb in its day, but it did not age well. The other part of that, of course, is that I'm not British, so the in-jokes about British politics, the way the houses work, the way the members divide and conquer or not, it's a rough and tumble I'm not familiar with. I don't understand the dynamic of it. And so a lot of the House of Cards intrigue was, the American version was that, I'm pretty sure I understand how the House and Senate work, or don't. And I'm pretty sure what the various cabinet ministers, secretaries, do. So, and I understand the party system, so I did Tories and the Conservatives and the Labour, and I don't know how that works in England. So that's probably a factor of why I didn't find the original House of Cards quite so intriguing. And Spacey as the guy you wanted to hate because he represented so much of what was wrong with government. Good morning. And yet, against my will almost, I found myself rooting for him, even though he's a complete bastard. I cleaned that up a lot. And yet, the writers made me root for him anyway. Because, in a lot of ways, he was only slightly better than the rest of the people. Which doesn't speak well of politics in Washington, but I don't think anybody can, really, these days. But that's beside the point. The speech that he gave, the McTaggart keynote speech, which is apparently a thing that happens at this annual convention of TV executives. And he really laid it out quite well. The reason that piracy is a problem is that producers are making it difficult for people to pay money to see the programs they want to see in the ways they want to see it. That the traditional broadcast models are, in a certain sense, bankrupt. And that's finding its way into the media in ways that are not necessarily reflective of the reality of the viewing public. For example, there's a pretty widely held belief that Americans have a reducing, shrinking attention span. And you see it all the way from kids. Teachers talking to about kids who have reduced attention spans because of the MTV generation and the widespread use of electronic devices that only feed them little tiny snippets of stuff. And so they lack the ability to appreciate longer writing or more extended discourse or fill in the blank for anything big that's not attracting attention. And the problem with that is the problem that I've had all along with people who keep labeling technology as the problem rather than the way technology is being used as the problem. It's, all ebooks are crap. No, not really. Kids have reduced attention spans. Well, I'm sure some of them do. But I'm also sure that one of the reasons that they have reduced attention spans is that you're boring. It's really hard to be attentive to stuff that is boring. to stuff that is presented in isolation, to stuff that has no context in which to operate. It's really difficult for someone who would much rather be playing, engaged in doing something, to be forced to sit and listen to somebody talk about doing something. It's not that they have a reduced attention span, it's just you're not being very interesting. Same thing is true of television, same thing is true of mainstream publishing, to be perfectly frank. I mean, the reason I started writing was as a response to not wanting to read the same book over and over and over and over and over and over again. Swap out the author, swap out some of the language. John Ringo, David Weber, to a certain extent, Eric Flint, are all the same book. Well, that's interesting. Somebody's standing in my driveway. Oh, somebody with a dog. Somebody with two dogs. Oh, yes, Scotty and the pug. Two leashes running back and forth in front of a person who's trying to walk them. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I posted on Google Plus. You can find it on BBC. Look for McTaggart. Spacey. Keynote. You'll probably find it without too much trouble. The little blurb that's with it, the video that goes with it, is 2 minutes long, but the actual extended commentary where they actually took down part of his speech and put it on was right on the money. It was wonderfully well done. It was acknowledging that not only do
thanks for trimming all my trees.
Oh.
I'm so sorry that those were so
that's we had to, they were coming down on the house, so we had to do something.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Okay.
The neighbor whose trees we had trimmed. The fans want what they want when they want it in the packages that they can consume on demand. That's really his message. And that artists want to be able to create stuff. That's what they do. And studios want to make money. Oh, almost 18 minutes on the backside. Oh, well. But studios want to make money, and we want studios to make money. I want studios to make money because if studios make money, that means they can produce more work, which means I have more to consume. And the idea that we want it to be free is really not valid. Everybody might want it to be free. The realism is certainly there, that there are people who are willing to pay for good quality entertainment. And it goes from TV to publishing. And the reality is not how much you have to charge for a movie. The reality is how much can you make in a month. So anyway, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. I got to get a kid to school. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you tomorrow.